So, I read somewhere, I think it might have been in the manual or on the website, that one thing the Bu Qi lets you do, I think the expression, what it says something was like, it enables more personal expression of Wing Chun. So, Chum Q very clearly helps you, at least in my own stage of development, there's a huge focus for me on trying to coordinate hip with strike or a block, hip and arm together. So Bu Qi, you were saying it's sort of an emergency thing that you pull out of your pocket when you need to. So how do you also, what do you think, how does it enable more personal expression of the whole Wing Chun system? How does it permeate the rest of your Wing Chun?
Well, I think it happens in two ways. So, number one, once you start playing the form properly, like, when you start really cranking some energy, and you have lots of, changes from one side to the other with lots of long arm releases and movements. I mean, it sort of frees a lot of the structuring that we were doing in the Silam Tao and Chom Kyu part of your learning. You're now letting things off the leash a little bit more. So I think and you're striking with a lot of jing and power. So I just think on that energetic level, it starts shaking off some of the scales so you can actually feel things a little bit more. The other thing I've noticed too is when you do some appropriate freestyle qisao, so many of the moves from Bu Qi just come out of nowhere because maybe part of my technique was collapsed or this or that, and so then they come out naturally because I was training in the form. That happens a lot even with the mokjong as well, and we'll talk about that another time with the wooden dummy. You think, oh, where am I going to use this? I can't even think of how I would use this, and yet then the circumstance qisao happens. It's like, oh, it comes out naturally, right? Because I prepared for it to. So all of those pearls just keep popping up all the time, right? So I think those are the two ways, because it feeds your nervous system with more possibility, and then also the energetic intention is much, much more forceful, powerful in Bu Qi, so it can be freeing as well.
Okay. Sort of getting rid of some of those training wheels or scaffolding
Yeah,
that
like
you
moving
use.
your energy, right? Like, you're really starting to crank some energy now. You've spent, a bunch of years building that internal structure to hold it, to handle the energy, so that you don't throw a punch, you don't hyperextend your elbow, or you don't break your wrist. Like, you've worked the wrist joints for with your Hyun cells, all those Hyun cells you've done. So your legs, the kick, like, all that's now ready to run some real energy through there. So now start doing it. Right, because we don't do a lot of full contact sparring, you do have to at least have some body memory of how to fully commit and hit in a fight. Because if you've just been playing patty cake with your qisao, even if you have really good qisao and amazing footwork and wonderful timing and sensitivity, that if you don't know how to hit when you have the opening, I mean, it's great as an art, but in a fight, it's just going to delay you maybe 3 seconds before the person does figure you out, and because what you're trying to do in the Wing Chun, ideally with the center line, we've talked about this before, is make sure you don't get hit so you can hit any time you want. Okay, so you have to hit. And you have to find somewhere where you're actually fully committing to the punches, the strikes, the kicks, the elbows, and Bu Qi is one of the forms. You can do that without having to, beat up somebody. The other one, again, we'll do this, I'll talk about it more, is when you do the mokjong technique in the air. Without the mokjong. Okay? You really start cranking full power when you do that.
Yeah, I can so see how the scaffolding progression works too, in so far as with Chum Q, you're doing some shifting motion, dynamic balance. And in Bu Qi, it seems much more, as we've been sort of talking about, explosive movements.
Yeah. A lot of jing.
Linked with shifting and dynamic balance, so it's
And change.
Chum Q's a lot safer in that regard. You're not throwing a lot of energy.
Yeah.
You are throwing a lot of energy, but not.
Yeah.
You're also focusing on just being able to do the shift, for
It's still
instance.
pretty contained
Yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Typically within the shoulders, or the one movement that
Yeah.
we have, the side kick,
Yeah.
right? But everything is like moving the whole structure. Bu Qi is like structures breaking, but you're still
Right.
firing.
I've heard it's sort of the robot stance where everything's in front of you all the time
Yeah.
versus something more
Yeah. Now it's a
fluid
little
or
more
more.
real.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think certainly for me, my early years, like when we trained the system and I understood the system, there's that still that naive part that's like, oh, and a fight will look like what my training looks like. It won't.
Yeah.
It won't.
Yeah.
You know, it might start there for a minute, but it's you're going to do things you've never trained directly. Because your training has allowed you to.
Right.
And has allowed that natural ability to come out based on the sensory cues from the other person. Pressure, they push you, move you, like whatever it is. Your body's just going to do Wing Chun. Reorient to center line, saving time, energy, motion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all the, like, it's just going to happen. And that particular movement, you may not have trained directly in a particular drill. So that's the, again, the magic in the system, so to speak. I said this several times. You know, you train consciously and intentionally through the front door, mm-hmm. and the real Wing Chun sneaks into your nervous system through the back door while you're not paying attention.
Well, and it's fascinating because the forms, I mean, obviously we do a bunch of other stuff besides the forms, but the forms are the same movements over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow you're, as you're saying, you're learning the same movements over and over again, but yet you're learning something different because you're, when in a fight situation, you're not going to do the form. You're going to.
That's right.
You've learned something else through doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. The forms, I mean, the forms will, yeah, obviously they'll show you the techniques, but what are techniques? Techniques are middle of a bell curve of idealized structure for you to deal with someone's energy coming at you at a certain line or plane at a certain angle. So whatever I call bong sao is that, okay, there's a middle of a bell curve of ideal structure in this particular technique, right? Doesn't mean it's, I'm gonna have a perfect bong sao. I mean, it just means I need to have enough structure to not get hit, to occupy center line so I can hit anytime I want. So it just has to be good enough. And so your training keeps helping you push yourself to that ideal place. And it becomes more and more dynamic, right? Especially when you get into high level Chi Sao, where it's freestyle. But it's not like anarchy either. Like there's still a really intentional skill set going on there. So you have to keep expanding.
And that seems to tie into what we were talking earlier with the Bu Sao, that you learn the idealized form in the form.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an intention, and it's something to do with your intention, but it might not be, it doesn't have to be what actually manifests. It's just,
yes,
that's your intention to throw the, or the, where you're throwing the energy out from,
mm-hmm.
the last part of Bu Qi.
Yeah.
That's your intention, is that energetic.
Yeah. And I'm going to use, you know, structure as whatever structure I can manifest from that very awkward position.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to train that, but it's not going to look, it might just be one arm.
Yeah.
Because the other one's pressed against the whatever, and you know, the wall, and here you are, and it's just like,
yeah,
right. I'm glad that was empty-ish.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just water.
Hold on. Okay.
A little accident here.
Yeah.
Middle of our audio. So much chi flying around. Okay.
Little cup was the,
yeah,
the victim.
So again, we use the forms. We don't let the forms use us,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's why, you know, you have to understand the system. You have to understand the fact, though,
mm-hmm.
how to engage with the training in a way that's going to bring you to this place I'm telling you about. Because I can show you all the forms. You can practice them a million times.
Yep.
But if you're not doing it with a certain intention or a mindfulness about what you're trying to focus on while you're doing the form, you might as well be learning ballroom dancing. I mean, it's, you'll learn some moves, but it's not going to translate,
mm-hmm.
into anything useful in the martial realm, right? So that's the difference, is, you know, the beauty in the system and the way it's laid out is that it just sets up your nervous system's ability to synthesize and integrate all of these exercises, drills, forms, to get something much more than the sum of the parts. Exponentially more. It's, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we've already been sort of touching on this, but we sort of explicitly in the past two forms talked about chi,
mm-hmm.
and the, so I was wondering if you wanted to speak more directly to the theme of sort of energy, the energetic flavor of Bu Qi.
Yeah, it's explosive.
Yeah.
It's so here is really where we're first introducing Jing.
Yeah.
Right. Or the Ginglek, I think, is the other terminology used in our manual. So that's the explosive release of power.
Hmm.
And so by really working that last wrist joint, right, or focusing it into the elbows, you know, if the elbows are doing it, right? So you've spent these years cultivating your chi, learning how to move it around through your other two forms of practices. So again, the infrastructure is there for you to now, again, I'll use another metaphor. So your jing is like that last little snap and the whip. Okay, so you let it flow and there's a little like release, relax. There. So just practicing that motion of the jutsaos, right, is really creating a strong infrastructure to snap out some jing, right? That little whipping energy at the end. Whether it's here or here or here or kick, anything, right? Mm-hmm. So you're now using, you're feeling your body as like an articulated whip. You know, like you make all the funny Bruce Lee sound effects like that, you know, right? It has that kind of flavor to it, right? It's not loosey-goosey whip. It's structured, but it does follow a chain of energy, right? So you can imagine what kind of energy you're going to be moving through your body and then releasing. So a very powerful practice. You know, if you want to move some energy in your body, regardless if it's martial or not, you know, do your Piu Chi with really serious intention, you know, 3, 4, 5 times. You'll definitely notice something happening inside.
I don't know if we want to touch on the, because we've been talking about Qi and Jing. We want to touch on, we haven't explicitly talked about the internal three elements, which starts with the heart, mind, flows into intent, and then into Qi and then Jing.
I mean, this really goes to, you know, deeper parts of oneself. And no one really knows for sure what they're going to do in a real fight situation. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, they've been in a lot of fights. Mm-hmm. Then they'll probably have a good idea of what their patterns are, or typically how they respond. But for people who haven't, or maybe it's been a very long time, you can't say for sure what's going to show up in your stress response. Mm-hmm. Because what we're training is to have a very engaged, intentional, focused response. Right, that has a lot of capability, a lot of bandwidth to deal with lots of different circumstances, physically, emotionally, and psychologically. So the training, in theory, is going to be stretching that bandwidth by continuously bringing people to their edges, and edges, so that the edges create a much larger container where people can be responsive versus inappropriately reactive. I'm going to come back to your question, and we're just linking it all together. Because we're talking about intention.
Yep.
And, you know, heart and mind, which is, what am I doing? And in this expression of the art, like, when it's go time, like, you have to have trained yourself somewhere, somehow, to fully commit. Because if you don't have that in you already, it's not going to show up magically. What you're going to get is some highly charged fight, flight, or freeze response.
Right.
Now, those are meant to obviously keep us safe, and you know, the fight response, we want to use the adrenaline and cortisol and norepinephrine that is going to get jacked up into our nervous system, right, if a situation comes, but I don't want to be overwhelmed by it either. Right, so you're training, when you're training seriously and on the edge, and there's a little bit of, you know, I don't want to say fear there, but there's a little bit of, okay, like, I'm on the edge here, and with my partner, and we're really, you know, stretching that out. You're already sort of micro-dosing yourself with a little bit of stress hormones, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Instead of giving you a big and crazy dose of it, and then you go into extreme reactive fight, flight, or freeze, and then you can't be responsive in any of those situations.
Right.
You can be reactive, but you can't be responsive. And what we're trying to do into bringing Wing Chun into a martial application is to have you actually being responsive.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, I want you to have good habits that will come up. But reactive means like you get into tension and you're fighting with aggression and no sense of what you're doing. Like you're just flailing and out of control in a rage, whatever, trying to deal with the real or imagined physical or emotional threat, which is what typically triggers us into stress response. Okay, so we want to have something more than just that coming out. I certainly don't want to go into flight mode, because, and so let me be clear about that. So if in a situation I could have ran, absolutely.
Yeah.
Give me that boost of adrenaline and get my legs in gear. So if you can, I'm absolutely saying that get out if you can.
Yeah.
I'm now saying now you can't get out.
Yeah.
But your nervous system can still go into flight mode. And what that means is you're going to sort of cower and just protect yourself and not engage intentionally with the situation. Okay, so that's, you know, you're going to be, you know, panicking but and trying to protect yourself, but you're not going to be reactive. And then the freeze response is like a deer caught in the headlight. The body for many people in traumatic events actually does paralyze.
Right.
So it's not a metaphor of frozen. It is they are frozen, and then they will, obviously they can't defend themselves with any kinds of responsivity. So how do you train that mind with that intention? Well, train seriously, train with intention. You probably hear me, you know, when I do teach, I'm always telling people, head up. Put your eyesight on the back of the other person's skull that you're training with. At least, you know, set your scope mark on the back of their head when you're going to release energy, and bring your eyes, like bring that spirit forward, you know, in a way that's going to feel a little awkward, but comfortable, because you're training with a partner who you know. So I want you to sit with that awkwardness of like basically looking through somebody or looking them in the eye the whole time, which is usually uncomfortable. I want you to train that here in a way that it's not going to, you know, crush you. Right, so that when something happens, for real, you're gonna have these forward eyes. That's a very powerful psychological tool in a physical altercation. You could even minimize it or prevent it from happening. Now, I'm not talking about eyes bugging out of your head and a big scowl on your face. I mean, that's an aggressive, and that could trigger more aggression. Okay, I'm just talking about like you are there, you're fully present, and you're just seeing through that person. Like they're just an object in your way. Just as a matter of fact, not with disdain in your eyes, or just because you've just trained that. You just set, again, you're setting your scope of where you want your energy to go. And if you've already done that on the other person's body, that has an impact through the mammal parts of the nerve. It does do something to somebody. Okay. So this is how you train it. And then when things get even more dynamic, when, you know, at the senior levels and advanced levels of training Chi Sao or doing Mai Song Zhang drills, like you go in and you blatantly attack and you, right, but with skill, and they can stand and defend and change, and they're both here. We don't look here anymore at the hands of the center line. Like we already got that program. Now we're just, I'm aiming my energy and the hands are just gonna deliver it. Okay, so this is how you train that. So how do you train that into Bucci? Well, yeah, once you're, you know, looking at your elbows, make sure it's the right line and this and that. It's like, okay, once you have that, then where do you want the energy to go? But like, train that. So this is how you can bring that forward and linking it with, you know, the heart and the mind is like, okay, do I have the intention to fully bring myself into this? Mm-hmm. And so you may have to do some things physically, emotionally, or psychologically in your life to clear out the blockages around that, right? Your training can help you, but it'll also maybe point out where, oh, I actually always defer to people, or I don't speak up for myself, or I'm always a people pleaser, or, you know, don't want to rock the boat. Like, you're going to come face to face with those blocks. Right. So again, you can do that in training and class. You can work those edges. So then when you can now bring it, now you link that with your yi, which is now I'm going to aim it. I'm going to bring the heart and the mind like I'm fully here. Now I'm aiming that. and the other side of you. Mm-hmm. So there's my yi. Right. And then the last part, we want to connect the jing. Right? Then it's just another level of release. Mm-hmm. Or you can just do the form.
Yeah.
Just do the movements. You know, so again, I keep referring back to how do you train the system properly? With the right intention instead of, you know, just numbing out or do what the instructor said. Like what are you doing on your own to really bring your training up to the next level? You know. There's so many things. You just practice straight line, center line, time, like the attributes, the principles. Now you've got this thing of, you know, internal and external, six element theory. How do you actually bring that into your training now? So it's all there for people if they want it. And certainly they'll get the instructions and the teaching, but ultimately they have to decide that they're going to engage with this seriously. If they want the high level Kung Fu to come, you have to train this with serious intent.
Do you like the idea, sometimes it's where the idea has been brought forward that you could, before you go to class, say, today I'm going to focus on this attribute or this mm-hmm. this part of the fat dough or something like that.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a good?
Sure. Yeah. And an instructor might invite you to do something different.
Yeah.
But still, if you can weave something in,
yeah.
Right. I would say certainly, you know, make those opportunities real for you in class when they're presented. Mm-hmm. But certainly when you're training outside of class, just practicing your forms, or you get a Kung Fu brother or sister and you get a bunch of you trained and you say, okay, this is what I want to actually focus on. And you create drills that support your intentional learning, right? Instead of just, oh, let's just do Silin Tao, let's do Pak Sai. Yeah, but what are you going to do when you're doing those things? Like, you know, to get the full benefit of that time, first of all, but also you're not going to get high level Wing Chun if you don't train that way. It's just not going to happen. Not gonna happen.
Right, and when you're in the position of having to come up with your own drill outside of class or something like that, then it's because you're intentionally thinking about what do I need to work on, what is the problem, or what is the thing that I need to engage yeah. with.
You can bring some creativity there. What would be a really cool drill that would really yeah. meet these two or three things I want to integrate?
Yeah.
Right. Well, kicking, or like this, or well, it could be a self-defense application. Someone grabs me, like whatever, like. As long as you're focused, right? You know, Moyata, I'm paraphrasing here, he says, you know, like Wing Chun is center line, and if you're training or fighting on center line, it's Wing Chun, even if you don't call it that.
Yeah.
And then he says, but if you're not training on center line, it's not Wing Chun, even if you call it that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so as long as you're focusing on those things that are Wing Chun, then it can look like many different things. You're still training Wing Chun.
Even when it looks strange, like Bu Qi to...
Yeah, or even...
That's beginner.
But, you know, the curriculum is like the alphabet, right? Of the system. What poetry you come up with, you know, that's yours. And this is, again, where, you know, that personal expression and freedom continues to emerge. You It's important to teach the curriculum, but don't be personally enslaved by it in your own personal expression of your Kung Fu. Right.
Okay. Should we end there, or do you have to?
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Tifu.
No, thank you. Thank you.